Coming up, I'll tell you why workers are walking out on the job. And then a Walmart employee emailed me about some of their bad practices. And then which generation is most optimistic about their earning potential. That's next. Let's go. Helping you win at work and in life. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I want you making more money and experiencing more meaning. So why are workers walking out on their jobs? Well, it's simple. Burnout. So this is Burnout Week on the Ken Coleman Show. If you missed Monday and Tuesday, we covered two of the causes. There's five causes. We'll cover one each week. A Monday show, how passionless, meaningless work leads to burnout. Yesterday's show, how overworking leads to burnout. And today, we're going to talk about underappreciation, a lack of recognition. Simply put, leaders, pay attention, lean in. I'm going to tell you right now, you see it every day in the news. Nurses, teachers, principals, rail workers, they don't feel valued. They don't feel valued. And I can tell you this, leaders, remember this. One of the three primary human needs that must be met by you is recognition for their unique contribution. We are all little boys and little girls who just want to be noticed. Do you notice me? Do you see me? Do you value me? And let me tell you something, more than ever, you look at millennials and Gen Z, so Gen Z's 25 and younger, millennials 26 to 41, they're the largest demographic in the workforce. And I'm going to tell you something, they'll leave you just like that. And that's why we have the Great Resignation that, by the way, continues to be the case. Look at September and October job report, millions of people leaving jobs. And it's created this unbelievable instability that leaders feel. I'm losing people. I'm having a hard time recruiting people. And it just comes down to loving people. Now, we're going to talk specifically for those of you who are feeling this right now. You're feeling like you are underappreciated. Employees who receive adequate recognition, listen to this, leaders, are 73% less likely to report being burned out. This is from Gallup. That's extraordinary when you think about it. You know why? Because it doesn't take a lot of effort and it doesn't take a lot of money to recognize someone. Employees who receive adequate recognition. You know what adequate recognition really is? Consistent attaboys and consistent attagirls. One-on-one and in front of their team. Very simple. Leaders, you've got to go out of your way to begin to create a culture, which means discipline for you, where you are constantly, consistently recognizing your team. Hey, I saw what you did there. Well done. You are important to our team. Here's how. You are important to our customer. Here's how. A date night. An extra vacation day. A ticket to a game. This is not a massive expense. And quite frankly, none of those things that I mentioned there are absolutely needed other than to constantly look them in the eye and praise them, to lift them up in front of their team and say, this is well done. We appreciate you, workers. If you aren't in an environment like this, I've got bad news first and then some good news. The bad news is most likely the environment's not going to change. Not unless a leader gets intentional and leaders get intentional to get better and to see what's wrong with their culture. And it is possible this can all be taught, this can all be learned, this can all be changed. But the reality is if you raise awareness to this issue and leadership doesn't do anything about it, now keep in mind, you got to do your part. You go, hey, listen, I think we could just use a good old healthy dose of recognition. Now you could take this to your leader and say, hey, listen to this crazy guy named Ken Coleman or whatever. I don't care. Throw me under the bus. And he was talking about 73% of workers are less likely to report being burned out if they receive adequate recognition. Blame it on Gallup. Everybody respects Gallup. I can tell you this. More people respect Gallup than they do me. So I want to amend my comment. Just take this Gallup data to your leader and go, hey, I think they're right. Obviously, they're right. The data says. And you know, I just wanted to bring this to your attention because I know that's true of me and it's true of my team. And so, hey, this is just a positive. You know what? I just think as my leader, you need to know this and maybe helpful to you in building a stronger team environment for us. There you go. That's it. And just walk away. Now, here's why I recommend doing that. You want to talk about a lick your finger and stick it in the air and see which way the wind is blowing? That will do it. You want to take the temperature on, does your leader and does leadership in your company actually care about this issue of recognizing people for their unique contribution? You suggest something like that, see if anything happens. If something happens, great. We got a little flicker of hope. If it continues to go, great. And we could see turnaround. But on the other side of that, if they don't do anything with it and they literally ignore it or discount it, it's time for you to look for somewhere else to be. Because I'm going to tell you, it's only a matter of time before you burn out. Now, sadly, some people burn out and still stay in the office. They stay in the job. And that's called quiet quitting, right? They just kind of go, all right, that's it. I'm not going to go above and beyond. I'm not going to do it. Anybody see the correlation here? See, when we talk about burnout, you've got to understand the source of your burnout. That's why we're doing this all week. If you realize, wait a second, I actually love the work. I'm good at it. I care about the results. But what's weighing me down is I'm just being a human. And I just want to be appreciated. I want to be recognized specifically for my unique contribution. Oh, I get it. So I don't need to change careers. I may need to change locations. Leaders, you've got to understand this. You're trying to come up with all kinds of different strategies. You're racking your brain. How can we become a great place to work? How can we be attractive to talent? How can we keep our talent longer? Here's one thing. Just start recognizing your people for their unique contribution. So, if you're not being appreciated, I think you got to hold your hand up and say, hey, here's how I'm feeling. Here's what I'm needing. And a healthy leader is going to go, thank you for pointing that out. I need to do better. Not just for you, but for everybody else. An unhealthy leader is going to just, you know, maybe smile, maybe be snarky. I don't know. But I can tell you this. They're not going to do anything about it. And there's your sign. Wasn't there a comedian named Bill, I think it was named Bill Engvall, that had a whole routine on, here's your sign or something. And it was like, you know, but there's your sign. There's your sign. And that's how that works. Nope. I'm not going to be appreciated. It's not going to change. So I need to make the change. Why? Because you do matter, whether they tell you or not. You do have what it takes, whether they tell you that or not. So go be the best version of you. Somebody in this world needs you. If you figure out that that's your cause of burnout, great news. You can change your environment, and that'll change the burnout. Coming up next, an email from a Walmart employee. Hey, if you're a business owner and you don't know your numbers, I hate to say it, but you don't know your business, and when markets are shifting, it's even more important. You've got to do everything you can to set yourself up for success. You don't have to be in the dark. Over 31,000 businesses, including our team here at Ramsey, know their numbers because they use NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, planning, budgeting, and inventory, so you can actually manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve your margins. Having everything in one place has saved our team hours each week since we made the switch to NetSuite. No more jumping between 3 or 4 different systems. We have quick access to what's going on in our business at all times. NetSuite is a game changer. So head to netsuite.com/Ken to get a product tour today. That's netsuite.com/Ken. feeling a little early to mid-90s vibe here, a little CNC Music Factory. Gonna make you sweat till you bleed. Yeah. Yeah, I'm feeling that, Alex. I can't, you're gonna have to pull that bump down, Joe, or we're not gonna move on with the show. I'm just gonna keep doing awkward shoulder moves. Okay, so of the people, by the people, for the people, I am a man of the people. I've told you that, and I really am. And, you know, on this show, I love to go at what I consider to be really bad leadership and bad bossery. And not for a spirit of criticism, but honestly to shine a light on it. If anybody wonders why I do it, I mean, this is not for like my own, you know, aggression. I'm just going to call out bad leadership so that we embolden good leaders. We embolden you, the people, because some of you are following somebody right now that you'd never follow otherwise, and you may become a leader one day. And let me tell you something. All of the ills in the workplace all come down to leadership, period. That's the deal. And so anyway, I talk about this all the time, and I've also been known to kind of say, you know, look, if you need an hourly job, go to a Walmart, find some, you know, find a job. Who cares? Go. If you got to go make some extra money, you go work. All right. Well, so anyway, Dave is a longtime listener, I think, viewer, and he works at a Walmart somewhere here in Tennessee. And so I get this email, and I think it's interesting. And it bears pointing out that if I say go to Walmart and get a job, that doesn't mean I'm endorsing Walmart as a great employer. So he kind of was like, hey, I work at a Walmart and I think you need to know some stuff. So I'm like, okay, great. I'll read the email. Here we go. Excerpts from the email. Long email, excerpts only. In my store, the highest non-management salary is $13 an hour, with many of the positions at $11 an hour. The local McDonald's is hiring at $13 to $15 an hour. Keep in mind, most products on the shelves have increased by a minimum of 15%, yet there has been zero raise to compensate employees. All right, now, I want to pause there. And by the way, if you had an opinion on this, you could email into the show. You know, you can reach out to me on Instagram at Ken Coleman. You can jump in the YouTube chat room and fire away. But I want to point something out here. When a company increases prices, many times the reason they increase prices is because of increased costs. If this is true, I got to tell you, that's not cool. That's not a good thing. Because see, these employees in Walmart, they're seeing inflationary costs in their life, and they're seeing you raise the price for a box of crackers. And if you're not raising their hourly wage, they kind of go, huh, that's interesting. Now, let me just say, that's Walmart's prerogative. They're a for-profit company, do whatever the crap they want to do. But it sends a bad message, because most of the time, what happens is they'll raise hourly wages, and then they raise the price on the products. And so me, the consumer, I end up paying for your raise. All right? And that's why we are, in large part, where we are with stubborn inflation. All right? Now, this is the part that I found to be very interesting. What say you, people? They have a point system each time you miss a day. You receive a point. So, sick day, personal day, whatever, right? You miss. So these are non-vacation days, apparently. So every time you miss, you receive a point. After you get 5 points, you're fired. On the week of Thanksgiving, the points are double. In other words, if you miss, like, say, Tuesday of Thanksgiving week, instead of getting 1 point, you're going to get 2 points. If an employee missed Wednesday and Black Friday, they would now have 4 points. If they missed a Saturday too, they're fired. The point system does not reset for 6 months. So in other words, if you got sick the week of Thanksgiving and you maxed your point, you got up to 4 points, then you can't miss a day for being sick or anything personal at all. for 6 months or you get fired. Now, I got to point out, I believe Dave is telling me the truth. If somebody works in Walmart in Tennessee and you can dispute this, sure, equal time. All right. Now, it goes on. This Black Friday, huge day for Walmart and all retail locations. I had four coworkers that had the flu, but they came to work. Even though they knew they had fevers. Come on. All right, now let me just, all right, show of hands in the booth. How many of you are thrilled to know that Walmart workers are coming to the store with a fever because they don't want to get fired? Anybody excited about that back there? I see no hands. Okay. He goes on to say, they give you a discount card of 10%. He's talking about the benefits aren't that great, blah, blah, blah. He says, they give you a discount card of 10%, but it cannot be used on many foods and other necessities. Well, that's kind of a punch in the face. Dave thinks it's a punch in the face. I think it's a punch in the face. Come on, Walmart. You're going to give them a 10% discount card, but they can't use it on toilet paper? I mean, Joe Hankin loves him some toilet paper. During the pandemic, this guy bought all the toilet paper in Colombia. And if he couldn't use a discount card on toilet paper, Joe'd be upset. So he goes on to say, so why do I work at Walmart? Well, I'm a people person. I love being in retail and around people. Most people would question me, why not work somewhere else? It's simple. Walmart's surrounding and customers feeds my inner soul that cannot be achieved at McDonald's. So I wanted to share that part because Dave is not saying that Walmart is evil. He's not. He likes working there, despite what he sees are some inconsistencies and things of that nature. So here's what I want to comment on. All right. I understand every company has a certain amount of sick days, and I get that. I'm not saying that Walmart shouldn't have a sick day policy and points. I'm not questioning that. I mean, we have sick day. I don't know what the... Does anybody in there know how many sick days we get at Ramsey? You get five? And what happens if... boy, this is kind of fun. This is real time. What happens... Because I'm never sick, knock on wood. But what happens if you take more than five, or if you have to take more? Let's say I get the flu twice.
They're normally very, very kind. I actually, my first year, ran out of days, PTO, because we had a death in the family, and they said, don't worry about it.
This
very
is. Kind. I knew that that was going to be the answer, which is why I was fine testing it live. First of all, I love Amanda for many reasons, but I love that she actually knows our HR policy. I don't know. Because here's what I know in our structure here. If I had to miss more than 5 days because I was sick and I was communicating to my leader and it wasn't some clear, like, sketchy, flaky situation going on, they're going to support us big time. And I'm going to brag on our company because this is what Walmart ought to be doing. As big as Walmart is, Walmart ought to be doing what Ramsey Solutions does. You know what Ramsey Solutions did for one of our teammates who had cancer? We paid his salary. Was it 2+ years? He's at home fighting cancer. Now he lost his battle. We paid him. And its benefits and everything else. That's Dave Ramsey, my leader. Because Dave cares about people. I believe this Dave and this email is true. I believe he's telling the truth. I really do. And Walmart, I appreciate you having your point system, but those people ought not be afraid to call their leader on Black Friday and say, I have a fever and I can come in. If you don't trust me, first of all, that's bad. But if you don't trust me, I'll come in and show you. And the leader ought to go, you know what? That stinks. I don't want you to come in with a fever. Get better. We'll figure it out. If Ken Coleman's got to wait a little longer in the aisle, on aisle number 16, to get his tube socks, he's going to be okay. Come on, Walmart. Where's the heart? You're making all kinds of money. And you got people who are afraid to call in sick when they got a fever because of your point system? This is terrible. It's embarrassing, especially for a big-time company. But you love your people. You'd have met more profit. Shame on you. I'm expecting a call from HR and Walmart. helping you make more money and experience more meaning in your work. Your job doesn't have to suck. I'm Ken. This is the Ken Coleman Show, here to help you. Here's something interesting. Before I get to this, something interesting. How about that for a little delayed tease? A quick reminder. If you're watching on YouTube or listening via podcast, we're growing. We want to keep growing. And the way we do that, the best marketing is word of mouth. And if you're enjoying the show, would you do me a huge favor? Would you like it? Would you subscribe it? Would you share it? And honestly, if you had to pick one of the three, I want you to share it. Share an episode that meant something to you or challenged you. Say a little something nice. But a nice review, a share, that's what helps us grow in this world of algorithms. I can't even spell it, but I have to deal with it. So that would be great. Okay, here's this fun story. By the way, a couple positive stories today. How about the 8-year-old Nash Johnson? If you're just joining us, you missed that. That's a rewind. Love that story. All right. Survey released by Goldman Sachs. Felt like I had to say it that way. Feel like it needed a little special treatment. Found that Gen Zers, those are people 25 years old and under in the workforce, okay? 25 and under, that's Gen Z. They are far more optimistic about their finances in 2023 than any other generation. So the survey was done. How do you feel about your finances as you look to the next year, right? So that's the survey question. Of all of the respondents, all generations, only 45% say they believe their situation will improve in 2023. But for Gen Z, you ready for this? 77% believe their finances will improve next year. Now, most millennials were also optimistic, not at the high rate of Gen Z. Millennials, reminder, 26 to 41. Those are the ages of millennials. Of those, 54% say they will be financially better off in 2023. So optimistic, but not like wildly optimistic like the Gen Zers. 45% of my generation, Gen X, are saying that they will be financially better off in 2023. Do we see a trend here? The older you get, the more cranky you get. That's why you need Metamucil. That's what's going on there.
If not nature.
Well, you know what's fun about this? All of my Gen Z listeners and a good portion of millennials will go, what's Metamucil? Look it up. It'll be fun. Then we go to boomers. Only 28% of boomers believe their finances will improve in 2023. Gen Zs have big financial goals for next year. 55% of every generation said they plan to focus on growing their savings, but 58% of Gen Z respondents are most likely of all generations to report that savings goal. Now, this is really encouraging. By the way, all you cranky boomers and Xers, would you stop banging on the younger generations? As if like you have a commodity on success and health and stability. It's ridiculous. Alex, you're a millennial, aren't you? Yeah. Where was I going with that? Oh, I just love that they're thinking about saving money. These kids are not flakes. More than 80% of Gen Zers in the survey reported they will be at least financially successful as their parents in the long term. With 38% saying, we're going to be better off than mom and dad. Well, gee, I hope so. And then older generations tend to be less cheery, of course. Pew Research found that 72% of U.S. adults believe that kids these days will actually be financially worse off than their parents. So what does this boil down to? Young people are very optimistic. Old people are cranky and pessimistic. There you go. Great depth, as you always come to expect here on the show. All right, let's go to Hilo, Hawaii. Oh, that sounds nice right now. Cody's there. Cody, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, good morning, Ken. How are you doing today?
I'm living the dream, Cody. What's going on?
Hey, so I'm in a predicament here where I'm job hunting. I've been with a company in the food service industry for over 12 years. And just as you mentioned earlier on the show, of feeling underappreciated, not feeling valued, and causes me to get to the point where I'm looking elsewhere. Mm. So right now I have a phone interview coming up soon, and it's been about 12 years since I had a phone interview. Could you give me some advice, some tips? Going into that.
You are not having a phone interview tomorrow. You're having an important conversation. That's the context. You have to mentally go into this going, I'm having an important conversation. It's important to me. It's important to them. And I'm going to ask good questions. I'm going to dig. I'm going to answer their questions to the best of my ability, but I'm also going to ask some good questions. I'm doing this phone call tomorrow to have a conversation to decide whether or not I want to work for them. You see the shift?
Yeah.
All right. The fact that it's a phone conversation is irrelevant. It's a conversation. The fact that it is a phone conversation, that it is a phone job interview is irrelevant. It's a job interview. And preparation is the key. Relentless preparation leads to reflexive performance. That's my line when it comes to any advice I give as a job interview. Job interviews heighten our anxiety and our nerves, right? Because it is a performance under pressure. That is the function of a job interview. So in order to perform well under pressure, I need to be prepared. You still tracking with me?
Yeah.
So you don't treat the phone conversation, honestly, any differently. Okay? I'm going to be prepared. And I think the way you set yourself apart is the questions that you ask. You know, questions like, what kind of a person wins in this company? People who have succeeded in this particular role that I'm talking with you about, what makes them win in that role? Deep, insightful questions. By the way, you can get the free How to Win the Interview guide at kencoleman.com. And I highly recommend, Cody, you download that as soon as this call's over, okay? It's free.
Okay.
And it's going to go in-depth for you, all right? But I want to give you one other tip, and then if there's any follow-up questions you have for me, I'll dive into those. One of the things that I think is important in a phone conversation, because I do not have face-to-face opportunity that allows me to show body language and allows them to show body language, and I don't have that. So that's the one negative about a phone interview is you're kind of flying blind on body language. So to that end, what makes body language work is actual movement. And I believe wholeheartedly that you need to be standing up on the call. I would stand up for the entire interview. And if you want to pace lightly or pace in a circle, nothing to where, you know, you're getting like, you know, we want a low chill pace, right? But I think slightly moving around on the phone in a standing position, you are going to come across as much more confident. That's a fact.
Okay.
All right. Now, I hit you with a lot. Any questions about anything I said?
Well, if I get the job, when I do find a new job, how do I transition going out of it? Like, when is the right time to let my supervisor know that, hey, I got a better opportunity? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, you let them know the minute you get yourself a signed contract or, you know, a real offer, and you got a start date. And you let them know. And listen, when you let them know, you just go, hey, I've got a better opportunity for my future. You don't have to get into all the details if you don't want to. Just be kind, be grateful, and be clear. Kind, grateful, clear. You know, here's why I'm leaving. It's not about you. It's me, right? A little gentle breakup, you know. You're breaking up with them. Nobody likes to break up with anybody, you know. But it's a breakup. And so how would you want to be broken up with? I think that's a fun question because it's going to allow you to go, okay, what's my posture? How am I saying it? How would I want someone to leave me in this very situation? I think you answer those questions. I have total faith in you, Cody. As a good person who's thoughtful to ask a question like that, you will leave well. And so that's it, folks. Remember, no regrets. You don't have to worry. You've done nothing wrong. You're leaving for you, for something better. What are we worried about? All right, I got to get out of here. Before I do, I got to remind you, you matter. You have what it takes. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.